let's get to know the student-athletes of Brigham Young University in a player profile segment here on your Cougar Insider Radio Network, ESPN 960.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ed Crittle, broadcasting live from Fat Daddy's Pizzeria, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. You should support Fat Daddy's as they support the BYU football team. They feed them after games, and they feed them when they come into any one of their locations in Orem or Provo. We're at the Orem location, 93 South State Street, where you can get free garlic knots with your purchase of a 24-inch New York City-style pie if you mention ESPN 960 to get a Coke to wash it all down with and follow it up with some fresh gelato. I'm going to get some gelato tonight as well. Stop by, say hello. We just had a few fans stop by, get pizza and garlic knots, and they left satisfied. You will as well. It is time for a player profile, going to be brought to you by Fat Daddy's, Fat Daddy's Pizzeria. Support them. As I mentioned, they support BYU Athletics. The player profile, we got one of the transfers on the line, a big-time transfer. We're talking about a starter at the P5 level at the University of Utah. He killed it last year for the Utes, and I project that he will kill it for the Cougs in 2023, going into their initiatory Big 12 season. Let's welcome in the 6'2", 305-pounder out of Salt Lake City. We got Paul Miley on the show. What's up, Paul? Thanks for joining us.
What's up, man? I appreciate y'all having me. Thank you.
Hey, man, thanks for joining us and letting us get to know you a little bit better. So, shock in the world, transferring to from Utah to BYU. When did you kind of get an inkling and that you wanted to maybe put your name into the transfer portal and take a look at what options were out there?
Honestly, it was kind of just after the Pac-12 championship, it wasn't nothing like up there going on. Like, I loved the program. I loved all the boys up there. It was just my own. I just needed something fresh for me, you know what I mean? All I had ever known was Salt Lake City, Utah, and I had spent 5 long years up there, you know, so it's just, I feel like I had to get out of my comfort zone. I feel like I was getting too comfortable up there, and just, I wasn't growing anymore, and I had to get out if I wanted to see the optimal results I wanted for this, you know, for my final season.
You were highly recruited out of high school, out of East High School, one of the powerhouses here in the state of Utah. And, you know, you ended up choosing the University of Utah that first go-around. Tell us a little bit about that initial recruiting process. Who was going after you and why you ultimately chose the U?
Yes, sir. The initial recruiting process, dang, that seems like so long ago. it's just, I mean, I always kind of knew I wanted to stay home. My biggest thing for playing at the next level, I wanted my grandparents and my parents to come to every single game. So I knew I kind of wanted to stay somewhere on the West Coast. As for schools that reached out to me, I had a majority of the pack, you know what I mean, offer me. But it just, honestly, I just wanted to stay close to home. So Utah and my dad, you know what I mean, my dad played up at the U, had family ties up there. A bunch of my uncles played there. So, I mean, Utah was always in my head. You know what I mean, it's right up the street. It's a quarter mile away from East, so it's right there. So, I mean, it was kind of easy coming out of high school to choose Utah.
You got a lot of family members playing football, Paul. It's in the blood, right? I mean, how many different family members are balling right now or recently have been playing either college or professionally?
Shoot, too many, honestly. I got a couple cousins down here with me, Micah and Ace. You know what I mean? It's good to be around family. I was up with Devin Gafusi up at Utah, so it was nice having a cousin up there. It's just, yeah, I couldn't even count. It took me a while to count everyone who's played college football or played at the professional level.
Take us through, man, after you entered the portal, and I'm sure you got a number of offers. BYU came knocking on your door. What was the pitch from BYU, and why'd you ultimately choose the Cougars?
Honestly, BYU wasn't even on the table for me when I was thinking about going into the portal, but literally like 2 minutes after, Kalani hit my line, and I was just like, this is crazy. Like, I didn't expect the head coach, you know what I mean, to call me, and just especially a dude like Kalani, Coach Kalani. And so it was just crazy. I mean, that initial just him reaching out, like, right as I entered the portal, just I knew, like, he wanted me. I knew, like, it showed, like, how much he cared and wanted me down there. And so, I mean, it was kind of hectic those first couple of days. A lot of different schools hit me up, a lot of different numbers, you know what I mean, I didn't recognize. So it was all hectic. But, my first visit was BYU, and I planned on going other ones, but just, yeah, just Kalani's words, man, it stuck with me, and just I was just kind of overwhelmed with the whole process, and I knew, like, BYU had everything I wanted, everything, like, and I didn't know it at the time, you know what I mean, it was everything I wanted, but it was that and more, man, and I'm happy to be here and happy to get to know the boys and just be training with them right now.
BYU had an addition to its coaching staff, Sione Pua, who's an East grad who was up there during your initial seasons at Utah. Did he play an impact in your final decision in choosing BYU?
Not really. I mean, Coach, it was nice to have a familiar face there. And, I mean, Coach Sione is my uncle, too, so it's just he was talking with my parents the whole time. I mean, but honestly, no, not really. He didn't have a big influence on that. It was nice having a familiar face, having like seeing him, like he was there on my visit just with my parents the whole time. So I mean it didn't really affect my decision, but I mean it was nice having a familiar face there, someone that I knew, someone that I trusted. So I mean that was cool just having him there.
Paul, as you kind of navigate this next step and things you want to improve upon, obviously you're a verified, validated starter, and you're looking probably to the next level as well. But what are you looking to improve upon as you go into your final season as a college football player at BYU?
Just improving my technique every day, trying to work on the small thing. My main thing is just I want to stay healthy for the full season, and I know with like BYU staff they put on, Dr. Skylar Mays up there, I know he can help take care of me and take my game to the next level. I know Coach Funk's put a lot of dudes in the league, so I know he'll get me right when it comes to the technique standpoint. And they got a bunch of dudes there. I had a bunch of dudes I played with at Utah too, but just like at BYU it's the same. They produced a lot of NFL dudes, and I want to be a part of that. I want to be in a room with dudes that got the same goals as me. So I mean it's nice being surrounded by dudes that had the same ultimate goal of making it to the league and just wanted to do great things here at down here in Provo and get things done in the Big 12 this year.
What do you like about your teammates right now? Who have you gotten to know? What do you like about your offensive line roster currently?
For the teammates I know, I mean, I knew Jackson Craven's coming in. We were up at Utah actually together our first 2 years. So he was a dude that I've always kept in contact in, one of my closest friends. And then just the O-line boys I've really gotten to know. Connor Pay's been a huge help, man. He really he's helping me grind out the film, trying to get the offense down. I met Waylon, another transfer, Kings. Ty, I mean, that whole room, man, is just they welcome me with open arms, man, and it's just it's nice, man. And I just, like I was saying, like they get after it in the weight room and in the runs, like they know how to work. So I'm glad just to be a part of it and be here.
Paul, you say you're looking for a different kind of experience for you to help you grow. What's the vibe been in Provo, and how does it differ from maybe what you've been experiencing in Salt Lake?
The vibe, I mean, everyone's nice. Like just like Salt Lake, I mean, everyone's nice. It wasn't even like a certain vibe I was looking for. It's just I wanted to, not like saying like I had everything figured out at Utah, but it was just like I needed something to push me to the next level and push me to get that what I'm looking for, and I had to get out of my comfort zone. And I feel like, I mean, I never imagined myself down here in Provo, even to like this day it's still kind of weird, but I mean I trust Coach Kalani, I trust Coach Funk, and I know they're going to help me get done what I'm trying to do. And at the end of the day, I want to win a Big 12 championship with these boys, and so I'm going to do everything I can to try to put us in that position. And, I know what I can do. I know what I can do on the field, but I just got to trust Coach Funk, trust Coach Kalani, trust Skyler, and just trust all that they're teaching me, they're trying to do for me, and just go from there.
Well, you touched on your Funk Kalani as being kind of the thing that swayed you as much as anything else. Kalani's obviously one of the most approachable guys we've ever talked to. What were his key points? Like, what struck you through the conversation specifically that kind of just stuck in your mind through the process?
I mean, he was just real. Like when we talked, he was just like, look, like, I'm not going to, like, offer you a bunch of money, like, try to, like, tell you I'll give you this amount of, like, whatever to get you down here. He's like, but what I will promise you is that I'll love you up, I'll coach you hard, and, like, you're going to have fun playing football. And I just thought that was real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a bunch of these other coaches calling me just, like, trying to throw money at me, trying to just like, we'll get you this, get you that. But it's like, I feel like with Coach Kalani, it was just real and you could feel it, you know what I mean? And I know like a lot of people who talked, like who just talked about him, like just saying like all the same stuff, just like he's real, he's a dude. And honestly, I didn't believe it until I talked to him myself and even in person, like just coming down to Provo. And I trust him, man. And I know he got a plan for me. I know like he's going to take care of me. So yeah, let's get it.
Paul Miley on the line, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960, the product out of East High, former University of Utah offensive lineman, multi-year starter, talking some Cougar Sports right now, why he committed to Cougar Nation, and what his goals are right now. So, Paul, take us back really quick. So, look, University of Utah has dominated this rivalry. and you've been a part of a number of those victories, I imagine. But the most recent game, BYU finally got the Utes. What do you think happened in that particular game? Can you recall kind of what happened and what you maybe experienced in that game, how BYU was finally able to turn the tide in the rivalry?
I mean, I didn't play much that game, you know what I mean? I was two at the time, so, I mean, but what from I could see is that they were hungry, man, and something I do remember from that game is someone that threw a ball out of bounds, and Coach Kalani just catched it, and I remember seeing all their boys just go crazy and just, like, having fun, and I feel like it's just when you make the game, I mean, this football's a, I mean, it's supposed to be fun, man, and I feel like down here they have fun with, and they love what they're doing, so I feel like the big thing was they just, they went out there and had fun, man, and just they played their game, and they were the better team that day, so.
Yeah, it was, it was a nice turning of the tide, and Kalani does it his way. You've known Kalani probably for a while now, and what is it about Kalani's personality, the way that maybe he approaches coaching that you like?
He just makes the game fun again, man. Like, I mean, a lot of places, I know it's not just like, it feels like a business, you know what I mean? And over there, it feels like high school again. It just feels like, I want to run through a wall for that dude, you know what I mean? I want to play hard for that dude and just for those boys there. So I feel like it's just making the game fun again. I don't know how to explain it unless you're really in it, but it's just the simple things, man, you know what I mean? And just the culture they built down there. And it's been fun, you know what I mean? And so I can't wait to see what the spring ball holds and summer, fall, all that.
Yeah, you're getting into school, right? And I don't know where you're at. Are you a graduate transfer, Paul? And I'm sorry I don't know this, but are you a grad transfer?
Yes, sir. I'm a grad transfer. I have two degrees in family, community, and human development, and then my other degrees in sociology.
Love that, man. What are you going to be studying at BYU? What classes are you going to be focusing on?
I'm in just some post-bac stuff right now. I just didn't really have, like, I came in kind of late, so they just put me in some classes. But this spring, I'll be looking to expand a little bit. I'm not too sure yet.
Outside of football, what else are you passionate about? Like, any idea on what you'd like to do as far as business, corporate world, entrepreneurial world, after you're all done with football?
To be honest, no, I haven't really thought about it. And that's another big thing why I wanted to come here as coach. Like, I mean, like, when we had our conversation, he's just like, what do you want to do after football? And I never thought about it. Football's been my only plan, so. Another big thing for coming down here is Coach Kalani said he's going to help me figure out what I want to do, like what I like to do besides football, because I'm bigger than that. And I never considered that until, like, talking with him. Man, I could go on for hours about this dude, man. Like, he's a dude, and I love Coach Kalani, man. But to answer your question, I'm not too sure what I want to do yet. I know I could be successful in whatever I want to do outside of football. It's just I need to figure out what my next passion is outside of football.
No, it's hard, man. I think all football players struggle with that transition and finding what else, like, what they're passionate about, where they have core competencies. And it's hard. It's not an easy transition by any means, but you need mentors, you need coaches, you need a village to kind of help you navigate that as well. Paul Miley here on ESPN 960 talking some Cougar football. I don't know if you've sat down with Coach Funk at all and gotten to know him. You've mentioned him a few times, but give me a few takes on your interactions and your relationship with Coach Funk. And, you know, he's put in a lot of guys in the league. He's got a great eye for talent. He's been in this business for a long time. Give me your overall thoughts on Coach Funk.
Coach Funk, he's a cool cat, man. I feel like I like how laid back he is. He don't really raise his voice much. I mean, he always talks in, like, the same kind of tone, so. I mean, that was a little different than what I was used to. And, I mean, he's laid back. And just when we were watching film together, he was just, like, watching some of my film. And he was like, I can help you with this, help you improve on this technique. You know what I mean? The way I snap and bring my hand up, he's telling me he can help me fix, like, bringing it up faster. It's just little details, like, I didn't even really consider. It's like he's noticing. So I know, like, he can help me get to where I want to go and fix, like, refine those little details and make me that much of a better football player.
Paul, you know, as far as, like, when you're not going to school, playing football, you know, where do you spend, like, your free time? What are extracurriculars that you're involved in? I mean, I don't know if it's gaming, I don't know if it's hoop, I don't know if it's skiing, I don't know if it's just chilling with fam, friends, what is it?
Yes, sir, I'm a family man. Like I was saying, I mean, I've grown up in Salt Lake my entire life, so all my family's right there, like 5-10 minutes from my house. So I love to go play, hang out with my grandparents. We play cards every week, so me and my girlfriend will go visit them, play a couple card games. It gets competitive, so I mean, I'd be talking smack to my grandma, and it's just a fun time. But I love my family, man. I mean, they're the most important thing to me in the world besides God. So I just love spending any time I get with them. And I mean, if I'm not with them, like, I want to be able to bond with these boys. So I'm planning on hanging out with a couple of the O-Block or with the O-Line boys over here this weekend, and probably do something with Salon, Waylon, and Connor, all them boys.
Yeah, I like that crew a lot. I think, yeah, you go to a university and they distribute the swag, right? You know, it's always nice to get the swag, right? You're making the transition to a Nike school. Is that exciting? I mean, tell me a little bit about, I mean, are you Team Swoosh or what?
Ooh, don't even get me started on switching to Nike. Like, I mean, the first day I put them cleats on. I was like, ooh, I just feel like high school again. Like, my feet feel nice. And even the workout shoes feel so good inside the weight room. So, I mean, I was like, honestly, that was like the biggest thing I noticed my first day of lifting. I was like, dang, cleats feel nice.
I knew it. I mean, come on. I mean, there's a difference, right? There's a difference between the UU and the Swoosh.
There for sure is, but no, I like the Nike and the gear fresh too. So I mean, can't complain about that.
Yeah, you know, no offense to the Under Armour. They bring some good stuff.
Nah.
Good stuff. No offense, but no, that Swoosh is just different. Those cleats are just different.
Not yet.
The Dri-Tex is different. Makes you faster. I mean, these are performance enhancing fine twine linens, in my opinion. Darnell, your thoughts?
Yeah, Paul, you were talking about getting together with your offensive line boys. What does the offensive line do for fun when they get together besides
eat food, man?
Take a few pizzas and chow them down, right?
I don't know yet. This is my first week I started, so they gonna, I mean, show me a good time. Hopefully, we go eat some good food. And I mean, I've just been asking them. I was like, "Where's the best food spot in Provo?" So hopefully, they don't disappoint.
Yeah, come over to. I'll get you some free pizza over here at the Fat Daddy's in Provo or Orem. If you want to come chow down on some pizza tonight, we'd love to see you. I don't know where you're at, but I'll get you some pizza, some garlic knots, whatever you need, some gelato. We'll fill you up, man. Bring some of the boys along the offensive line. We'll feed you real good.
Bet. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. 93 South State Street here in Orem. There's also one off Center Street in Provo. Just let us know if you're gonna jump over there, and we'll make sure that we got some pizzas waiting for you. But, Paul, man, I'm excited for you. This is a good crew. I was looking at the roster, right? Paul Miley, Connor Pay, LaSala Type, Braden Kime, Kingsley Suamataia, Ian Fitzgerald, Waylon Lapuahu, Vaisoi Fua, Sam Daw, Sonny Macassini, Peter Falanico, Trevin Osler, Donovan Hanna, Ben Ward. We got a few return missionaries coming back, and Jake Griffin, Isaiah Tupo, Weston Jones. Should be a pretty good group, man. Can't wait to see what you can do. Do you feel like you're going to play center? You think you'll play guard? You know, shoot, you may even be a tackle. I mean, you're pretty versatile.
Shoot, I mean, I played tackle back in high school, so if they need a 6'2 tackle debut, I mean, shoot, I'm all for it. But, I mean, I want to help the team wherever we can. I feel like I like center. I like to play center just because I like to run the show and make all the calls. But, I mean, if Connor's the dude, then I'll play guard. I'll play wherever they need me to play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I want to win that Big 12 championship. Get that. I mean, we were talking about our goals we're trying to do in the room. We want to win that Joe Moore, man. So we got some big goals. We got a lot of work we got to do, you know what I mean? So
yep.
We know we can make it happen, though. We know we got all the parts.
Eye on the prize, always on the grind, Paul Miley. Paul, we salute you. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for hopping on and letting us get to know you. For those that want to maybe align with you with networking and NIL, how can they get in contact with you? What's the best way to approach you in that way?
Yes, sir. They can follow me on Twitter or Instagram, or I can even put my email out, too.
Yeah, go put your email out there.
My email is Paul Miley, and then the number 10 at gmail.com.
Okay. All right. And then, on Twitter, it looks like Paul Miley 54. Is that the same on Instagram?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Paul Miley, M-A-I-L-E, 54 on Twitter and on Instagram, or you can email him as well. Paul, we salute you, man. Thanks so much for hopping on. Thanks for letting us get to know you a little bit better.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate y'all.
Hey, my pleasure. God bless. You look better in the Swoosh anyways, bro, and Rat Royal Blue.
Appreciate that, man. Go Cougs. Let's get it.
Yes, sir. Paul Miley. Guys, your thoughts on Paul?
I love how he refers to Kalani as a dude.
He's a dude.
Kalani's a dude. I'm sure Kalani appreciates that, too.
Well, wow, I was wrong about his recruiting story. That's fantastic because Kalani is such a good recruiter. He can just get one-on-one.
Yeah.
I think he can seal it with just about anyone. And I think you saw that emotion with Miley. I was surprised by that, to be honest with you. I thought he had BYU in mind when he decided to transfer. Sounds like it, not at all, which really surprised me. But, man, wow. Props to Kalani and BYU for jumping on that and getting Paul Maile to Provo.
Hey, I've said it a ton of times on this show. When Kalani's involved in the direct recruitment of a player, especially in this Mountain West region that is familiar with him, his story, his history, his culture, who he is, it's really hard to say no to Kalani.
Yeah.
He loves the players, and they love him in return, and it's genuine. And he wants the best for them. It's altruistic in nature. I don't think he would want a young man to come to BYU if it wasn't the right thing for the young man, too. And
they can
you
feel
don't
that.
You don't always get that right. It's like Paul said. It's like you're getting hit up by all these schools. I mean, he's a multi-year starter, and like he's one of the best teams in the country at starting center. And they're like, yeah, we'll get you money here. We'll get you whatever you want. You know, what do you need? And it's all like superficial, right?
He's going, I need an experience is what I need.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I needed something new.
Something new to challenge.
And to this point, okay, guys, like I'll bring up Campbell Barrington Clark Barrington. This is a good example here because this generation, and I think it's a good thing, and I think we could all learn a lesson from this generation in a certain way in this regard. Like if you're at a spot for 5 years, you've kind of extracted almost the most out of you can out of that experience, and you're looking for something new, a new challenge perhaps, a catalyst for change.
Yeah.
I think that's where Clark was, and I think that's where Paul was. And it's okay that Clark went to Baylor. It is okay, and I wish him well. And it's okay that Paul came from the U to BYU. He never imagined he'd go to BYU, he said. He wasn't even thinking about BYU. He entered the portal, Kalani called him, boom. You know, and that's the end of the story. So it's okay to look for new experiences is what I'm getting at. Now, if you're hopping around from job to job and school to school year over year, I mean, you probably need to evaluate a little bit what's going on there. I don't necessarily agree with that methodology. But if you've extracted the most out of your playing experience and your student athlete experience, you're graduated, then I think it's okay to move on. I don't think there should be any sort of enmity between the fan base and the former player. You know, it's just like, Keenan Peely. He graduated. You know, is it a big loss? Yes, but he had been there for 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Caleb Lohner was at BYU for 2 years, and I think he got the most out of his BYU experience. Do I agree with it? No, I wish he would have stuck around. But he got his BYU experience. He was initially up at the U. He's a man that is looking for experiences.
He loves experiences.
That's what I'm saying.
He does skateboarding and wakeboarding and all that stuff.
Experience guy. Yeah. It's like he's trying to extract the sweet honey nectar out of life. And I celebrate that, as we all should. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you don't want to hop around year to year, but I think if you've had your experience, you felt it, you've suckled from that teat, like Geppetto, and meet the parents, and you can move on. Sorry. Is that overboard? No?
Don't we got to go to break?
The saucer? All right, we're going to go to break.
You made Brandon wince.
I know. Such a great movie, by the way. Meet the Parents.
It happens 5 or 6 times per
Meet the Parents? Your thoughts on Meet the Parents?
It's a fantastic show.
Yeah. Geppetto, you know, that's what I think of. Anyway, we're going to go to break. Suckle from the teat of life and rejoice, and come get some pizza while you're at it at Fat Daddy's Pizzeria. We're going to go to break coming up next. A What's Cooking with the Cougar segment coming up next? I think we got What's Cooking. We got What's Cooking.
For dinner!
Oh, my goodness.
Scooby-Doo!
All right. Brandon C. Gurney, Darnell Dixon by my side. Thanks to Paul Miley. Great stuff. We're going to get into What's Cooking with the Cougars coming up next. Come join us, though, at Fat Daddy's, please, and eat some food, because that's what's cooking tonight. This is Cougar Sports, ESPN 960.
rush hour, and you're heading home after a long day. Now the question becomes, what are you going to pick up for dinner? Ben Quiddle tells you what you should pick up and also gives you the latest news that's cooking with BYU Sports in What's Cooking with the Cougars here on ESPN 960.
What's for dinner?
Oh, my goodness. Is that like a... Is that entire thing Scooby-Doo, or is that like a mixture of us and Scooby-Doo? I couldn't tell. Bryce Larson, which one is it?
No, that's all Gurney.
That was
Gurney. Everything
that was
in that drop is Gurney.
Like, what?
Yeah, that's here. I'll play it for you again. That's all Gurney.
That's for dinner.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh!
Is that all Gurney?
That's Gurney.
That's all Gurney.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do sound like Scooby-Doo.
Oh, stop it! Stop it! You mock me so much. You even made it into one of your promos, except you didn't mock me. It was Darnell Dixon.
Man, that's so funny. All right.
That's not a word.
All right. I'm Ben Crittle, Brandon Gurney, Darnell Dixon by my side. We're live from Fat Daddy's Pizzeria here in Orem, the newest location. Grand opening today. We just ordered.
Oh, my gosh.
We just ordered. Well, I haven't ordered yet.
Well, tell them what you want.
I got to order, man. I was still looking at the menu. I wanted to tweet it out, you know, share it with all of Cougar Nation. Come in and get a pizza, guys, personal pan pizza. Get 8 free garlic knots with your purchase.
So they don't have a tri-carne at this one. It must be at the other one. So the wise guy is the one that I got.
Well, they have one that's tri-carne. I think it's the wise guy.
Hey, hop on.
Okay.
Hey, hop on.
Let's just call something different.
Hey, can I say something about the Fat Daddies? Everyone thinks they know what pizza tastes like, and I think I know what really good pizza tastes like. So when you ask me to go to Fat Daddies, oh, cool, I'll get some pizza. It'll be good, right? What they served me was unlike anything I've ever tasted. It was a different tier of pizza. It wasn't like anything I've ever tasted before. It was fantastic. And when you told me we were coming to Fat Daddy's today, holy cow, I was excited.
You were, huh?
Oh, I was so excited because it is fantastic pizza.
We got the marketing director here of Fat Daddy's Pizzeria, fatdaddyspizzeria.com, Nick Ritchie, to tell us a little bit about, you know, what makes the menu unique. You're very well-versed in this. You've been in this business for a while. Tell us a little bit what makes the menu unique here and your favorite pizzas.
So, first off, my favorite pizza is the Maverick. I absolutely love the Maverick.
What are you talking about?
The Maverick is the one pizza that the Fat Daddy actually didn't come up with. Janine came up with that.
Really?
The other owner, yeah.
So it's honey chipotle barbecue sauce, chicken, pulled pork, red onion, and jalapenos.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a hot one.
Oh, it's the perfect heat to sweet. Yeah. I mean, that honey chipotle sauce is delicious. Mm-hmm. First time I had the Maverick, I told myself I'm never going back to a normal pepperoni pizza.
So good, man. It's fantastic. I don't know if I'm going to go spicy today. I was like, I kind of wanted to mix it up, so I might not kind of go bland, but I kind of want to mix it up today. But typically I go with the Maverick. Maverick's fantastic. So
yeah.
Come in, try out the Maverick. Gurney went with the Frankie One Eye. Do you want to explain what's on the Frankie One Eye here?
Yeah, it's got all the meats, and one of the most underrated meats, in my opinion, is salami. Everyone goes for the pepperoni. Get salami. That's the best.
Like with the salami, there's like a little bit of like sodium in there that
yeah.
I like. You know,
but
what I mean?
Still like the pepperoni. And they got the pepperoni sausage, Canadian bacon, salami, capicola, peppers, onions, Italian dressing. Perfect, perfection. Everything on there is good. I mean, usually it's like, oh, do I really want that? No. Everything on there. Like if I had to create a pizza, that's exactly what I would create.
Double D, what did you go with this time?
Well, so Nate was just telling me that the Wise Guy is the same thing as the Tri-Carne.
It is.
But in Provo, it's called the Tri-Carne.
Well, actually, it's now called the Wise Guy at both
It just
locations.
Changed it all over? Okay.
Yeah, they changed the name. They realized Tri-Carne was fun, but all the titles of our pizzas are much more fun, so why not call
yeah,
it the
okay.
Wise Guy?
Yeah. So pepperoni, sausage, and bacon. There you go. All meat pizza. It's going to be great.
You know what it's named after, right?
The Wise Guy?
Yeah.
The TV show?
Oh, I'm talking the Three Stooges. Don't be such a wise guy.
Wise guy.
It's the three. It's the trio.
It's the trio. The wise guy.
Why I oughta.
Yeah. I mean, Frankie One Eye is named after Chad's dad.
Yep.
Queen Margarita, Pig on Vacation. I mean, it's a Hawaiian pizza on steroids. I mean, come on.
Let's go.
So we're all about the fun names. I mean, Buffalo Bill, Pretty Woman. The Fat Daddy is definitely one of our specialty pies. Mm-hmm. It's a play on the Philly cheesesteak, so you got the steak on there, all the peppers,
Jeez,
onions.
I want all of these.
And then we top it with French fries
one of
and Fat Daddy sauce. So
I like
it's good
it.
Stuff.
Guys, come in. Let's rejoice in Cougar football and eat some Fat Daddy's Pizzeria and get maybe fat this evening. 93 South State Street in Orem. Get 8 free garlic knots with the purchase of a personal pan pie, or get a 24-inch pie if you so choose. But we appreciate them housing us, feeling us here. It's been a great show, and I want to get into what's cooking with the Cougars, always brought to you by Fat Daddy's, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. Any other deals, though, Nick, that you want to mention in the coming weeks or days or anything like that?
So we have our lunch special that runs Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. Starting at $10, you get a pepperoni or cheese pizza and a drink.
Yep.
Or you can upgrade to one of our premium pies for a few dollars more.
Let's put that out on social media as well there, Gav. You can check it out on the Fat Daddy's Pizzeria Talking Points and Remote. It's in that first segment. We'll put out the lunch special deal. You can upgrade the special as well if you're looking for like a specialty pizza.
Yeah.
Additional toppings, $12. Gelato is also made fresh here, guys.
Yes, yes. Janine makes all of our gelato. We've got some fun flavors. One of our signature flavors that we came up with is kettle corn. It's the perfect sweet and salty.
I got to have that.
Yeah.
I have to have that.
You're going to have it. You're going to get it tonight.
Steven, yes. Who's running the kitchen tonight, says it tastes just like the popcorn, the kettle corn that you get at a BYU football game.
That's right. Oh. I saw the BYU. He's got the BYU hat on. You can get the kettle corn from Lavelle Edwards Stadium, gelato style.
That's right.
In gelato form, rather. All right. All right. News and notes. News and notes. News and notes. What do we got today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? Rehashing a little bit of some news yesterday. Aiden Robbins announced he had surgery yesterday. Yesterday, I underwent wrist surgery for the betterment of my future and career. I played 90% of last season with this injury. And after an abundance of prayer, I came to the conclusion that surgery was best. Now on the road to recovery, I'm excited for what this year has in store. Your running back room, I believe. Aiden Robbins, Sinkalu Rapati, Nukuluvi Hilu, Miles Davis, Jackson McChesney, Mason Fakahua, and maybe a signee. Not sure. You also have, I think, Robeson, Bo Robeson, I think is one of the walk-ons. So what do you think about that running back room, guys? Any thoughts, any commentary?
It's intriguing. I kind of wish it was still a little deeper, to be honest.
So what if they picked up a guy like a 3-star or 4-star running back out of high school?
I'd love that.
I think
from Georgia, from the ATL.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's going to come from – it may come from Georgia. I mean, Kelly Papinga said, hey, we may have a surprise.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're thinking ATL, you're like, wide receiver? Running back?
Yeah.
Defensive back?
Yeah.
Outside linebacker?
Yeah,
DN?
You're immediately thinking skill position.
Yeah. Or even a pass rusher. What about a monster D tackle, like 4-star or something like that? You know, who knows?
The name in the running back room that I think everyone's overlooking is Hinkley Rapati.
Quadzilla.
I think Hinkley showed really well last year. I think he's intriguing. I think he could play a bigger role than I think a lot of people are envisioning. And I see him maybe number two with Aiden Robbins right now. I thought he acquitted himself very nicely toward the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Double D, any thoughts?
Depth is really important because we saw last year how many running backs BYU went through during a pretty difficult independent schedule. I think we can agree that's one of the more difficult schedules they played in independent. So it's important to have that depth. We really liked what we saw from Miles Davis when he was healthy.
Yeah.
He had explosion. He had burst, more so than really anybody else in the running back room. So it was great to have him there. Jackson McChesney, if he ever gets healthy, is a load. He runs hard. And then you've got Hinkley Rapati, who we mentioned at the end of the season. I mean, when he took that screen pass for a touchdown, was it against Boise, right?
Yeah.
That was an amazing run. I mean, the guys were bouncing off him as he's sprinting through the secondary. So there's some talent back there, and I feel like everybody's going to be used next year. That through the top three or four guys, they're going to get their opportunities. So it's important to have that good depth, and maybe one more guy would help build that if they get L.J. Martin from Stanford. I know that's somebody that's been talked about a little bit. And or if they bring in another high school recruit, a 3 or 4-star, that would be amazing. So they're working on it, and I think they've got some good guys there.
You know, we don't know about the former Stanford commit, L.J. Martin, where he's leaning. Where, you know, he could end up as a BYU Cougar. They're still very much on the prowl with L.J. Martin, so that could be a big get. There's many others. I don't know if K-Pop's got a running back out there in the ATL, but in the South, they just bring them different, right? They're just different out there. So I'll take it. Whatever it is you got, K-pop, I'll take it.
I love how the pitch is like with direct flights. Salt Lake.
It's all about logistics. That is fantastic. It's all about logistics and transportation. That. Like, I was chatting with a few coaches about, like, the UNLV job, and they were saying, you know, they were talking about how, like, why UNLV has struggled, and some of it has to do with the fact that the coaching staff that have been there have not focused along, like, the I-10, the I-15 corridor, and focused on bringing everyone in from that, you know, just like within driving distance type of thing for families, because it is about that. Proximity is important, and then ease of travel is important. So if you have a hub, and everything, I guess, flies into Vegas, and so that's the reason why you're like, oh, well, maybe you can go out and get these guys. But that was one of the theories, I guess, was like, no, stick close. You know, don't go out, even though everyone can fly to Vegas, go along the I-10, I-15, and et cetera, those highways and byways to bring in those prospects. Anyway, it's a point of commentary right there, G-Man. All right, some other news and notes. Here we go. Football recruiting. Per Robbie McCombs and 24/7, Siali Asera got bumped up to a 4-star in his composite ranking. So BYU's 2023 class has 4 4-stars, 2 high school in Jackson Bowers and Siali Asera, and then 2 transfers in Aiden Robbins and Eddie Heckard. Pretty nice. Very nice. BYU basketball. BYU opens its 3-game home stand on Saturday, January 28th, when the Cougars host number 22, St. Mary's, at the Marriott Center for the final time as West Coast Conference foes. Tip is scheduled for 8 p.m. Mountain Time. Saturday's contest will be broadcast on ESPN2. Greg Rebell, Mark Durant on the call for BYU on the BYU Sports Network. We got to try to get Mark on the show tomorrow. I'm putting in that formal request to the decision makers here at ESPN 960. Talking to you, Bryce. let's reach out to him. I can text him, too. Couple things here. I'm expecting a big game from Rudy Williams versus St. Mary's. I really am. I mean, back-to-back 20-plus point games, 25-plus point games. A sub above. This is from Tyson Jex. Research shows that BYU point guard Rudy Williams is one of only 3 players to score 25-plus points off the bench 3 times this season and the only West Coast Conference player in multiple games of 25-plus points as a reserve. So versus Creighton, he had 26. Versus Utah, 26. And at USF at San Francisco, he had 28. They came late, but still.
He had 25 against Santa Clara, didn't he?
Maybe you're right.
I mean, that's 4. I think that's 4.
Maybe we double check. Let's look at the game log. Could you look at the game log? Yeah.
Yeah, because I was looking at that today. I've got to write an advance story tomorrow for the game, and I'm pretty sure that would be 4 times for him off the bench if he scored 25 or more.
Wow, crazy.
Pretty good.
On this day 12 years ago, 4-score and 12 years ago, I'm kidding, Jimmer Fredette dropped 43 points in an electric Marriott Center, in front of an electric Marriott Center, to lead BYU to a 71-58 victory over Kawhi Leonard and the San Diego State Aztecs.
Ah, yes.
It's freaking Jimmer Fredette.
Well, yeah, freaking Jimmer. So at that point, the media still sat on press row. They don't call it press row anymore. That's where we were.
Do you think it'll ever change? Do you think they'll bring you back?
They've gone to the point where they just got to get as much money as possible out of those seats. But anyway, we were sitting there watching this game, and at the end of the game, it was the most amazing experience because Jimmer came out, was doing an interview on the radio or maybe with the ESPN, and the crowd had already rushed the court, and they were surrounding him, and he got up on on a chair or on that press row and stood and looked at him, and it was like the Messiah. I mean, they were just worshiping this guy for what he had just done against San Diego State. And Jimmer was a really humble guy. He didn't really necessarily like the spotlight. He didn't like the spotlight in that sense. I mean, he loved it in the game as a player. But outside of that, he was, you know, anybody's going to be uncomfortable with that kind of adoration. But it was fantastic. It was an amazing night in the Marriott Center. Every game that BYU played in the Marriott Center his senior year was a sellout.
Yep.
Every single. And they do it now, maybe once in a while when Gonzaga comes to town. Mm-hmm. It probably won't be a sellout on Saturday against St. Mary's. But every home game, especially in conference, that year with Jimmer was an absolute sellout. The place was packed. It was an amazing, amazing year.
Yeah, it truly remarkable. I was at that game. It was tremendous. It was tremendous. These guys are eating their garlic knots in the middle of the segment. This is how hungry these guys are. Gurney, you're eating a garlic knot right now. So is Double D. All right, broadcast information there.
Women's Double D was waiting for me to go, and then it's like, all right.
Yeah, exactly. Women's basketball. The BYU women's basketball team will head back out of the out on the road for games against St. Mary's on Thursday and Pacific on Saturday. Thursday's game at the University Credit Union Pavilion versus the Gales will begin at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, while Saturday's matchup at Pacific is set for 2 p.m. Pacific time at the Alex G. Spano Center. Both games will be streamed on the West Coast Conference Network. I thought this was interesting here. Lauren Gustin, right? This is from Women's Hoops Worldwide. Lauren Gustin of BYU is averaging 16.1 points per game, 20.4 rebounds over her last eight games. She has recorded double-digit rebounds in all 20 games this season. She has 19 double-doubles so far. She's averaging 15.8 points and 16.3 rebounds on the season. Where are we at with Lauren Gustin? I asked yesterday. She may end up being a top 10 all-time player if she can lead this team, you know, into like an NCAA tournament, right? Then we're talking like top five.
Probably not going to happen this year, but could happen next year in the Big 12.
Yeah. How many years of eligibility does she have left?
Okay, so
with COVID.
Because of COVID and because she actually went to the University of Idaho, transferred to SLIC, sat out a year, she can come back for one more year if she wants.
Lauren?
Lauren can.
We need you to come back. We need you to come back. I need her to be one of the all-time greats. I think it would be awesome. Like, I mean, can't she make it in the WNBA? You know, is she a WNBA player? I don't know. I don't know how she projects at the next level.
It'd be tough because she's only about 6 feet and a half, 6'1".
So she's going to have to maybe get in. She's going to have to be a guard. She's going to have to become a.
She could play a four, a three or four because of how strong she is.
Yeah.
But
we need to bring on a WNBA analyst. I need that on the show to break down Lauren Gustin's pro prospects. Anyway, men's and women's track and field. As I monologue through this, as my co-host just eat garlic knots.
Hey, speaking of your co-host, Darnell wrote a whole article about Lauren Gustin and published it this morning.
Are you serious?
I told you I was going to do that.
It's actually really good, so check it out.
It's the definitive Lauren
Gustin. Why didn't you tag me in that so I can retweet that?
Sorry, man. I can do it now.
Tag me, dog. You know I want to retweet all your stuff.
I sent it out on Twitter, but gosh, I didn't tag you. I'm sorry.
Well, give me those hashtags. You know, I know I get a lot of crap. I've gotten a lot of, like, because I started doing hashtags how many years ago? Like, I was doing a lot of hashtagging. And I remember BYU fans like, oh, your hashtag. And I'm like, now everyone's doing hashtags, you know what I mean?
Good impression of BYU fans, by the way.
What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. My favorite is your nerd voice when you talk about BYU fans.
This got a bit more. What do you say?
You know that voice.
It's like a lisp.
Why are you criticizing BYU?
Oh yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, Brady Papinga. Yeah. Brady, why? Anyway, I don't even want to do it. I love Cougar Nation. Okay, I love my fans. I love Cougar Nation. But you know, we got to be able to have a little bit of.
You got to laugh at yourself.
Yeah. Anyway, BYU men's and women's track and field hits the road again as it travels to the Razorback Invitational at the Randall Tyson Track Center in Fayetteville, Arkansas, January 27th and the 28th. BYU men's track and field debuted in the longest acronym, I said this yesterday, USTFCCCCCCCA Indoor National Rating Index at number 7. The Cougars are one of five current or future Big 12 teams in the men's rankings, with only Texas Tech ranking higher at number 2. The BYU women came in at 20th in the opening ranking, joining Texas, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma among future Big 12 counterparts. Men's volleyball, Double D.
Number 13, BYU, number 12, BYU, swept by number 6, UC Irvine.
Yes.
First loss of the season. 25-21, 25-23, 25-16. Cougars had 39 kills, three more than the Anteaters, but UC Irvine was able to gain the advantage with, now this is where my expertise comes in. It says 26 blocks. It's actually 13 team blocks. That's how that works. So 13 team blocks, which helped UCI out-hit BYU 342-163. BYU led by outside hitters Capone Brown and Mix Romanos, who each finished with 12 kills. And the two teams will face off again on Friday. You can watch the match on ESPN+. from UCI's Brent Center.
Well, Darnell, you know so much about volleyball.
Darnell,
what voice was that? Was that a BYU fan?
Darnell does know a lot about volleyball. So do you, G-Man.
Well, everything I know is because I sat by Darnell for years, and I
what was that?
What was that?
What happened?
No, seriously. Darnell does know his volleyball.
I'll never forget that one of BYU players. This is actually during a women's volleyball game. But Jay Drew was sitting. He doesn't really cover a lot of volleyball. But the other players were hitting the ball off the top of the BYU block, and I said, "Yeah, they're using the block." He goes, "They're doing that on purpose." I'm like, "Yeah, they practice that." He didn't believe me. He's like, "No, they don't." I'm like, "Yeah, they do."
I remember.
It's called tooling the block.
I hit it on top of the block. I absolutely remember.
That's why I have experts. That's why I surround myself with greatness, like Double D, baby. BYU to host Liberty and McKendree in the opening weekend of the 2023 season
for tennis, right?
Is this tennis? Where are we at here?
I'm pretty sure it's tennis.
Is this tennis? It was somehow placed in men's volleyball.
Oh wait. That's from.
Was that? What's going on here?
I don't know what that is.
What is this from? Who put this in here? Put it in the rundown. I feel like a news anchor reading the teleprompter, and I make myself look like a complete imbecile.
Yeah, like Ron Burgundy.
The Ron Burgundy situation. Anyway, I'm not going to read this. I don't know what this
is about.
So
I think the BYU host Liberty McKendree is actually the headline's tennis, but the body of this is actually volleyball.
Gotcha.
So it's a little confusing.
Yeah, I'm confused. We're going to skip that. Women's tennis, BYU women's tennis will begin the 2023 season Friday, January 27th at 12 p.m. Mountain Time at Weber State. The Cougars return 8 players from last season and will also feature 2 new roster additions. The match will be played at the Ogden Athletic Club. All right. College football news. Do we got Matt Brown on the show tomorrow by chance? Nice. Via Matt Brown of Extra Points. A church in northern Indiana recently paid to have a few Notre Dame athletes come and sign autographs at a service. It's one of the first church NIL deals I've seen. I talked to the folks involved to understand the hows and whys, and you can read it at the Extra Points. He states, "I would certainly not describe this sort of deal as a synthetic NIL deal or one designed to launder money or sway a recruiting decision. It's not big money, and it's mission aligned. If more nonprofits get involved in NIL worldwide, though, could some churches join them?" Your guys' thoughts on this?
Wow.
Hey, might as well step in. You
that
can
is
promote
a new
your
frontier.
Own church.
Holy cow.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, I think, this is what's it. I've talked about this before. So remember, you know, from 2005 to 2015, we had the Firesides, and we all loved the Firesides for when they were like team sponsored, right? They were for every game, in away settings, and at I think they would they do them at home too, or were they just doing for away settings? I think they used
no,
to do
no,
them at
I
home.
No, I think they did them at home. Yeah.
They would do them at home.
Yeah,
too
I think
sometimes.
They would.
Anyway, you know, let me ask you guys this. Is it uncouth for a bishop to say to a BYU athlete, "Hey, let me spend $100. I know this is, you know, for the better good too, and come speak to the youth." Is that okay?
Wow.
Because this is my issue with it, okay?
Because,
you know, there is a service element there that we just automatically think that you can take someone's time because it's for the church and they have to come speak glowingly about, you know, maybe serving a mission or, you know, anything of that nature. It's for the better good of the youth, but at the same time, I remember talking to Riley Nelson when he was in his heyday. Remember abs and
hair. And flowing locks.
And, like, everyone every week would be like, "Hey, could you come speak at church? Hey, could you come speak at church? This youth event, this and that." And it's hard to set boundaries. How can you say no to good things?
Right.
And how you doing, sir? Good to see you. Welcome to Fat Daddy's. What's your name, sir?
Wayne?
What's your last name?
LaCourse.
Wayne LaCourse. You're going to sit down right here. We're going to talk some football here. Put the headset on. Let's go, Wayne. We'll get you some pizza, too. We'll get you some pizza. but, you know, how do you say no to something that's good?
Yeah, that's a tricky slope.
Right? Isn't that? It's tough. And I don't know what's kosher, what's okay and what's not, because you have a church, a Catholic church, that wanted to maybe do some good, bring in some players from Notre Dame, sign some autographs, interact with the youth, I imagine, in the community. And it wasn't like a bunch of money. I bet it's just like $100, $200. You know what I mean? This is not like, oh, making that filthy lucre, let's go. I'll represent the Lord as long as I'm getting paid. No, it's not like that. But it's like, hey, for your time, come out and interact with our community. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's outside the box. I like that thinking. When you first threw it out, I was like, no, you can't do that. But I'm thinking, maybe.
Does EFY make money?
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
Of course they do. Do the summer camps at BYU make money, or does it all start with a prayer? Yes, it does.
Well,
this is not like all in the name of capitalism. It's just paying for time. Time is your most valuable resource as a human being. Okay? It is. Time. It's time. And so I don't know what the answer is. All I'm saying is I'm bringing up this conversation for Cougar Nation because we have to be cognizant of the time that you're asking these young men that are stalwart, loyal, strong, or true, great young men, great priesthood holders, and they're making an impact in the community. They're making an impact maybe in your ward or in your stake or what have you. I just think you got to be respectful of people's time. That's all I'm saying. And just like, hey, you know, does it make a difference whether they're getting paid or not? In the grand scheme of things, probably not. But in the moment, you know, their time is valuable and they could be doing other things too. I'm not saying that they can't do it in a service-oriented manner and that it can be gratuitous, but, you know, find a way to add value and create symbiosis. I'm not a transactional human being. I hate the idea of being a transactional human being where if I do this, then you can do this, right? But you know what I do believe is in creating symbiosis. If you can create symbiosis in life with friends, family members, acquaintances, whatever, like at the end of the day when you die, it's like, you know, Darnell added value to my life. You know what I mean? Brandon Gurney added value to
my
life.
Why am I second? Why'd you go to Darnell first?
Gurney adds value to my life every day. He really does. Because I get to see him almost every day, and I love it. So, anyway, that's my final thought, anyway. But I think this is interesting, NIL deal. We talked about it with Jake Murphy yesterday, about what if the church really believed that BYU Athletics was a great ambassadorship tool for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and would it matter to bring in, if you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and you're a high-level four-star, five-star athlete, why wouldn't the church want you representing the church institution? If you do that, you're playing with fire because of the Latter-day Saints that are not fans of BYU. And then all of a sudden people are going to go inactive and say, you're using sacred funds to pay to win football games or basketball games. And so I'm not saying I have the right answer. I'm just saying that it's all about like what your core philosophy is as to the purpose and the vision of BYU Athletics. What is it supposed to be? What are we supposed to do?
Spread the gospel.
Is it? I don't know. Like, is it just to win and have a good old time and, like, develop? Like, the mission statement in the athletic department, have you read through it at all?
No.
It's kind of like, it's very broad. It's kind of superficial. Mission, you can look it up. Mission statement for BYU Athletics. All I know is, like, from a organizational behavior standpoint, I mean, I've surrounded myself with a number of people. I mean, I'm surrounded myself with a lot of high-level people. Paul Gustafson, been on the show a lot. I mean, let's talk about Cameron Jensen also. He's a president here. I mean, you talk to any of these guys that are high-level achievers, and they all talk about in the corporate world having true vision. And I don't know if we have a clear and concise vision of what BYU Athletics is supposed to be and its purpose. This is the athletic department mission statement, though. Build a distinctive, exceptional athletic program that is fully aligned with the mission and values of Brigham Young University and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Three pillars to that. Develop student-athletes into leaders. Live faith-based values of morality, charity, and honor. Win at the conference national level while displaying world-class sportsmanship. You know, pretty broad. It's nice. It feels good. When I sent this to, you know, many corporate leaders, they don't think it's as precise and exact enough to garner the best results because, you know, that's just their opinion. So that's why I bring up some of these elements. And to come full circle, I don't have the answers. I'm just saying if BYU or if the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints truly wanted athletics to be a marketing tool for their faith and to celebrate the individual LDS athlete, the greatest LDS athletes on earth, then they would be willing to go out and get them and say, you know what, yeah, we're going to make sure that these LDS athletes get to experience the best of the faith, the best university in the world, and surround themselves with like-minded individuals. And then we're going to make sure that they are highly successful afterwards. That's all I'm saying. And some people say, oh, well, then you're just handing it to them, and they haven't earned it. And that's not the BYU Latter-day Saint way. I'm willing to debate it. I'm willing to hear the rebuttals. Like I said, I don't have the answer. I'm just saying, without a vision, you kind of waffle a little bit. You know what I mean? There's not – you can't get the most out of your – out of your entity, out of your corporation, out of your athletic department.
Well, and the church has had to invest more into the university and into the athletic department, at least in terms of how the board views things.
Sure.
By this entry into the Big 12.
Yeah.
You can't compete in the Big 12 with your attitude from 10 years ago. It's not going to work.
Do you want to compete, and do you want to celebrate the Latter-day Saint athletes? And I'm not saying like we have to get all 123 players on the roster to be Latter-day Saints. I'm not saying that. But if you want to celebrate the faith, you know, you may want to go out and try to get the best LDS athletes. I mean, who said that time and time again, right?
Coach Reed had a little problem with that.
Introduce yourself really quick for all of Cougar Nation.
My name is Wayne LaCourse, and I've been a fan since 1972 and had football tickets and basketball tickets. So,
thanks for coming over here, Wayne.
But Coach Reed told an athlete that he was disappointing all of the members of the church.
Yeah, Chris Burgess, right.
And see, the problem is in our church, agency is a very important and respected thing. And so, yes, we can encourage all the best LDS athletes to come to BYU, but we also have to respect their agency.
Yes.
And I think that's something that comes up in this conversation.
I agree. Yeah, I'm not saying, you know, I don't believe in shaming people. I mean, there's been times where I do want to shame people, you know what I mean? But that's human nature, right? You want accountability when it's, you know, when you want mercy and kind of forgiveness and not, you know, not being shamed for decisions and, you know, rejoicing in free agency when
it's... Well, we all need that.
Yeah, we do. We do. I mean,
we need
that.
We have to recognize that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you, just because you go out and you try to, you know, entice Latter-day Saint athletes with money and name, image, and likeness money to be an ambassador for your school and an ambassador of your faith, I don't look at that as like a corrupt thing. I don't. They're members of your church. They're active. You know, they may have temple recommends. You know, I mean, they're already somewhat ambassadors, but then you're saying, I want to put you on a pedestal for the church, and we still want you to celebrate BYU, the moral ethics of BYU, and celebrate your faith. And that's why I say bring back the firesides. And you know what? Why don't you stream them? Imagine a Facebook Live of a Periscope and an Instagram Live on the LDS.org website, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ.com, of Taysom Hill talking about discipleship to the world and to all of the Latter-day Saints at BYU. You don't.
How about Danny Ainge or Steve Young?
You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm saying. Like that's the vision that I'm talking about. Rejoice in the positive fruits of the faith and celebrate discipleship and follow the words of Russell M. Nelson as he has promulgated from the pulpit and say, I mean, what has he talked about? Like discipleship and focus on Christ right now. And you can say, hey, we want, for whatever reason, people gravitate towards athletes. Are you going to change human nature on this earth? You're not. So why not cater to that human nature rather than, oh, we're going to change it. We can't do that. We can't worship those athletes. Not going to do it. That's idolatry. You know what I mean? Like, just cater to, I mean, it's okay to cater to human nature, and hopefully those athletes will then be humanized in the face of the world, and people will realize perspective. Like, oh, yeah, I look up to this person, and he's saying, I value my faith and my family more than football. Oh, wow. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm getting at. So, I'm just you know, I feel like Phil Hartman on Saturday Night Live. I'm just a caveman, you know, the caveman lawyer. Like, yeah. I'm just a dumb caveman.
The world
caveman.
Frightens and confuses
yeah,
me.
Yeah, the world frightens and confuses me, right? I'm just a cave. But, like, to me, it rings true. And I think for those that are listening right now, I think a lot of you guys, it probably rings true as well. I'm not Tom Holmo. I'm not Brian Santiago. I'm not one of the brethren. I'm a former BYU football player that has a radio show that no one listens to, right? But
Wayne listens to it.
Wayne, let's talk about Wayne. Man,
hey,
appreciate you, bro.
I coached Brian Santiago in Little League baseball in Provo.
Oh man, they got some stories. He's a fiery competitor.
Except, I was a sprinter when I grew up, and I was young enough at the time that I challenged him to a sprint, and I beat him, and he did not like that
at all. Brian does not like to lose, and that's one of the things I love about Brian. If you ever interacted with Brian, if you ever competed against him in anything, that dude doesn't like to lose at all. Nope. And some people think that that is a negative thing. I think it's an extremely positive thing, and you need to celebrate those things. And that's why he's in the position he's in and why BYU Athletics is where it's at right now, too. So everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. That's definitely one of Brian's strengths, no doubt. All right, we're going to call that a show. I think that's all the news and notes of the day. Any final thoughts, guys, before we wrap it up and start eating pizza?
No, I just listened to that Kelly Papinga interview. I thought it was fantastic.
You're going to write about it, right?
Yeah, sure.
Bryce, we got to get him a profile on ESPN. We got to get we got to talk to Corey about getting him a bio on ESPN 960 Sports and getting him set up to write, please. Let's do it.
All right.
Kelly Papinga.
Yeah, that was my final thought.
It was just a great interview.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, it was good. Well, you have a ton of perspective on that particular story. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, a little perspective for sure. That's what I kind of miss about covering BYU is you really get to know the players and all that. And back in the day when we were with TBS, covering these guys through the recruiting process, knowing their backstory, that's the good stuff about sports. And I love touching into that. It just makes it more relatable. And that's why I hate all this grad transfer stuff, because I think it kind of detracts from that maybe a little bit. But at the same time, maybe it adds to it. I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. But yeah, some fantastic stories on BYU, and it makes them easy to cheer for.
Double D, your thoughts.
I'm thinking about football a lot on this show, and I feel like it can be an ambassador for the church. It has to be.
Yeah.
There's no other way to operate it. Like, you can't run away from, you can't shy away from it.
And if you don't want to live the honor code, and you want to dabble in a little bit of mammonry, then hey, like, BYU's not the place for you. Like, it's about ambassadorship, and for the non-Latter-day Saint, you know, individuals, it's like, hey, like, it's a, like, let's focus on discipleship and the moral ethics of BYU, because it sets you up for success and you know, long term. So,
and it's something that's on the mind of the brethren as well, because I was talking to Vice Ikehema, who is a member of the 70.
This is a great article as well.
Yeah, which I wrote about. I was talking to him about the 1984 championship, but he mentioned that up at Salt Lake, there's a little picnic kind of lunch area that they go and eat at. And he says the conversation there between him and a lot of the brethren is, how's BYU football going to do this year?
Yeah.
They're very cognizant of it. And they understand they're either fans, and they also understand the influence that it has over the members of the church and people who are outside the church.
Yeah.
So it's a topic that should be discussed.
No doubt. It's like, but once again, let me reiterate, because some people think that I'm promoting, like, pay all the LDS players, even if they don't want to, like, live the honor code and represent the faith. That's not what I'm saying. It's like, I'll give you a perfect example. A young man that I love, and it pains me that he left BYU. Francis Bernard, return missionary, fantastic football player in the NFL. He didn't want to live the honor code. I don't want him to be viewed as a bad person because he was finding his way. Like, I mean, the prodigal son is a story we don't talk about in the Latter-day Saint Church enough. We just don't. Like, we don't celebrate sin. We don't. We do not. Sin, not all of us can just look at other people's mistakes and say, I definitely don't want to do that because I know it's not going to bring happiness. Some of us have to go dabble in it. Some of us have to experience emptiness. Some people have to experience, like, that emptiness of sin. You know, wickedness never was happiness. And then something changes, like, okay, like, I know that there's no happiness in it, then I'm going to go find enduring things and enduring, hopefully align myself with the enduring principles. Everyone's different, right? But you got to, you know, rejoice in that. I rejoice in the fact that Francis Bernard went on and he really flipped his life around, changed it, got married, balled out at Utah, and he's had a nice NFL career thus far. If you don't want to live that honor code, then you have to have those you have to have those heart-to-heart conversations with these young men. Yeah, you want to win at football games, but hey, like, baseline, do you really want to represent this church, these moral ethics? And you have to have those heart-to-heart conversations, because if they don't, then you don't want to pay them NIL money to come to you, is what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't want them to even come to BYU in the first place. You probably shouldn't give them a scholarship. But not everyone can have those heart-to-heart conversations. It's hard. Like, I've chatted with a number of players at BYU before, and they were not really all in on BYU as an entity, or even, like, the moral ethics of it all. It's nice, you know, it's good, but, like, they weren't all in, and they probably weren't really enjoying themselves. I'm like, don't do things just for football, because football is fleeting, right? Just because it gives you the largest platform. So you got to be able to vet those things. It's hard. I'm not saying, once again, I don't have the answers. I'm the caveman. I'm just, you know, and you have to have those very difficult conversations. But I think your point is taken. The brethren do care about BYU athletics. How involved do they want to get, and how important is it to them?
And, again, how committed they had to be to, because the team's moving into the Big 12
sure.
requires more of a financial commitment from the university to do that.
Is there more of a financial commitment from the church, though? All of the money, from what I've been told, this is what I've been told, and I could be wrong.
But they have to approve it, whether or not it's coming from their coffers.
They have to approve the $40 million that's going to be coming into the athletic department?
No, they have to approve that the athletic department is taking that road.
The use of it.
Yeah.
Like, but they have a separate budget in P&L, the athletic department does, not necessarily completely associated with the university, right? I mean, as the U.S. Department of Education,
the brethren are totally over what goes on financially at the BYU.
Right. Everything.
Sure. Yeah, I get it. But like, so like, but do they have to approve BYU going to the Big 12, obviously. But
right.
Are they approving, like, well, this $40 million that you're going to get from the TV deal, we get some of that, the university gets some of that, and like, they're approving how much money the athletic department gets of that $40 million?
I don't think the church is taking any. I think it's going to be spread throughout the non-income athletics.
Yeah.
All the girls' sports and
yeah.
Olympic sports.
I think you're right. I think, and that's kind of the BYU way. Mm-hmm. And
the move doesn't get done unless it's approved.
Right. Yeah.
And then they understand what that approval means.
Yeah.
It isn't business as usual. It can't be.
Yeah.
You can't do it the same way you've been doing it. You have to change, mm-hmm. and they approve that. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah. And Selfish Ben is like, all the $40 million needs to go to football.
You're right.
Selfish Ben. Right? But it's not going to happen.
Nobody else can use the indoor practice facility.
Yeah.
And
I'm,
we
I'm
get
kicking
all
everybody
million.
Out. Intramurals, you're going over to Provo High School. You can go play intramurals in the cold. Bring your space heaters. We got the IPF. We're going to be great. And guess, look, I would have been in the IPF till like 12 at night sometimes. In the winter, from like, are you kidding me? From November to end of March, like, yeah, you get some beautiful days here, Provo. But look at this winter; it's unique. But yeah, you're like layering up like three layers just to get out there and go do some footwork and catch some footballs and. You know, whatever. Anyway, I digress. Wayne, you're the man. Appreciate you being here. Bryce Larson, any final thoughts before we wrap up the show?
Thanks for having me.
Hey, appreciate you.
Nope, nothing Bryce. Else for me.
All right. Shout out to Gavin Lee. Shout out to Brandon Gurney. Darnell Dixon. Wayne, what's your last name again?
LaCourse.
Wayne LaCourse, appreciate you, brother. Bryce Larson. Paul Miley. Kelly Papinga, what a show this was.
Oh, my gosh, what a show.
What a show, back-to-back. Shout-out to Fat Daddies and my guy Nick Ritchie, and, of course, Chad, the owner, the proprietor of this fine establishment, and also from The Athletic, Justin Williams, and I think that's – and we got some Rich Simini sound, too. Shout-out to Rich. We like Rich. He's a good guy.
He was on yesterday.
Yeah, he was. He's kind of negative. He's kind of a negative guy. He's a New Yorker.
Can't help himself.
And he's very pessimistic. Like, that's one thing I do like about BYU fans is we have a glass half full fan base. They may be critical. They may say, I knew it, like when BYU's, you know, playing poorly. Like, I knew they were going to be bad. But, like, when they started the season, they were like, this could be our year. And that's why I love Cougar Nation. Not like New York Jets fans that they're constantly negative. Anyway, all right, that's our show. We're sticking to it. Download the podcast. Support our sponsors. Can't do our show without our sponsors. From all of us here at ESPN 960, have a good night. Have a safe night. You've been listening to Cougar Sports.